Hey, good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you all. If you're not a regular part of Sovereign Hope Church and you're here with us tonight, we're grateful to have you here and honored that you would spend part of your Christmas Eve time with us. But we are gathered together here tonight for one reason, and that's to celebrate Jesus. Gathered together to celebrate the fact that the Almighty God became a man in that baby 2,000 years ago. Now, I believe with all my heart that God created and established the world, and God created everything that exists, okay? And he did this in a certain way for a reason. This wasn't just some diversion for him. It wasn't some whim that God had. God created all that exists for a reason. That means that God was intentional and God was purposeful in exactly what he was trying to get done. See, there's something that God is trying to get done in this world. And all of God's purposes, all that God is trying to get done on this earth, come together in the one person of Jesus. See, that's why Jesus is the central person in all of human history. And not only is Jesus some important historical figure, Jesus is good news to us. You know, that's why when the Bible, whenever it's summarizing the message of Jesus, it uses this word gospel. And the word gospel, all it literally means is good news. See, Jesus coming to us is good news. It is great news. It is the best news that we could ever hear. But what I want you to hear tonight is that the message of Jesus is not just good news for other people. The message of Jesus is good news for you. It is good for you. It's the most important thing in your life. The central part of your life is what God has done in Jesus. So Jesus for you is not some irrelevant historical detail. It is central to your life. Jesus is central to why you have been born. Jesus is central to why you have life in the first place. Now, we're going to be looking at just one part of the Christmas story, a pretty familiar part of the Christmas story, and that's the story of the shepherds. And it really is a simple story that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, out on the countryside, there were some shepherds out watching their sheep that night. And these guys were out, it was night, they were pasturing their flocks outside of town. And as their flocks were out eating in the pastures, rather than bring the flocks back into town every night and get them in the corral and go home, they would stay out in the fields and they would sleep out underneath the stars. And they were out there to protect their sheep from getting lost and to protect their sheep from predators. But when Jesus is born, things are different that night because God is going to send angels who are going to come give these shepherds a special message. The angels are going to be sent from God to tell the shepherds about the birth of Jesus. Okay, I want us to hear this story together. It's Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. And it says that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Now, with this story, there is just one thing that I want us to see in this story, and then I have a question for you, one question about this story. First, what I want us to see is that God made it known to the shepherds that Jesus was born. Okay, and we see this specifically in the story a number of times. I mean, we see that the angels came to the shepherds and made the announcement of Jesus' birth. Then the shepherds say to each other, they say, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And then as we saw in verse 20, it said, "And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them." So just in those three ways, in those few verses, it's telling us that God made it known to them that Jesus was born. So that's how the shepherds knew that Jesus was born. Okay, sounds kind of obvious, right? They knew because God told them, and only because God told them. It wasn't because they were really smart and figured out that the baby Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, would be born. They weren't smarter than everyone else. It's not that they were really devout young men and had their Old Testament Bibles and were studying all the prophecies and connected all the dots and saw that Jesus was going to be born on that night in Bethlehem. They weren't laying there underneath the stars and looking, gazing at the stars and finding some hidden message in the stars. The only reason that they knew that Jesus is born is because God told them. God chose to reveal this news to them. And when they heard the news and saw it with their own eyes, they were amazed and overjoyed. Okay, so that's all I want us to see. God revealed it to the shepherds. And now my question for you, why did God reveal this news to them? I mean, after all, the Bible doesn't tell us many details about the birth of Jesus. We're not given many stories about how it all happened, but here, amidst this short bit of information that the Bible tells us about the birth of Jesus, we get this 13 verses, how God went out to shepherds and through the angels made known to them that Jesus was born. So why did God tell them? I mean, God didn't go around and tell everyone in that area this special news that Christ was born that night. I mean, God did not send out this coordinated team of angels to make sure that they got in their sleigh and went to every neighborhood and went down the chimney and told everyone that Jesus was going to be born. God didn't reveal this to everyone equally so that everyone had the exact same information and the exact same opportunity. He didn't. So why did God send the angel to these few shepherds? I mean, why? Why to them? Out of all the people who lived around Bethlehem at that time, why them? What was it, because something special about the shepherds? I mean, were they prominent? Were they important, upstanding pillars in their community? Absolutely not. They were poor farmhands. They were lower class laborers watching someone else's sheep. And the shepherds were not chosen because they were rich and important, okay? So was it because they were especially religious and that these shepherds lived holy and devout lives? Well, in the story, it doesn't give us any indication of that. And when you think about it, if these are young, rough farmhands, chances are that they were not living pure and holy lives, okay? Now, there were religious guys in their country, very religious guys, but they weren't near Bethlehem. They would be in Jerusalem. And they weren't out watching their flocks by night. They were in and around the temple and the synagogue. So why the shepherds? Out of all the people that God could have announced this great news to, why did God announce it to the shepherds? Well, it has nothing to do with the shepherds. God's choice to reveal this good news to the shepherds is not based in anything about the shepherds. It's not because they were rich or powerful or good or holy or religious. It is not because they came from the best upstanding families. It's not because they lived in a special part of the world. The fact that God made known this great news to them had nothing to do with them. It's not because of who they are, it's because of who God is. It's not based on any distinguishing characteristics or trait of theirs or any achievement by them. It is based upon who God is. It's based surely upon God's grace and love. In fact, we see that undercurrent throughout all of the parts of the Christmas story. I mean, Mary and Joseph were not chosen to bear the baby Jesus because of anything special about them. Joseph was a carpenter. I mean, think of it. He was a young, engaged man, struggling tradesman, trying to make ends meet. And Mary and Joseph did not have any special religious credentials or any achievements. And even as we find out, Mary and Joseph are from Nazareth. They're not from the cultural center of Jerusalem. They're from the backwater of Nazareth. In fact, many years later, one of Jesus' disciples will hear that Jesus is from Nazareth, and he'll say, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Now, even the city and the people of Bethlehem, they were not chosen for the significant honor of having the Christ born in their city because of anything that any person had earned or deserved. See, it's not because of any special attainments by anybody in the city. It is not given as a reward for anyone's outstanding behavior. It was not to the rich or the powerful or the influential or the impressive people. Jesus was given to those whom God chose. Okay? Not because of anything about them, but surely because of his free grace, his love. See, Bethlehem didn't even get it. I mean, even though Jesus was going to be born there that night, they didn't even go out of their way to offer any hospitality to Mary and Joseph. So God makes it clear that not one part of the Christmas story is based upon what any person had earned or deserved. It's not any special attainments by anybody. It's not a reward for their great behavior. It's given not because of what anybody did. It's given because of what God did. It's based solely upon the free grace and love of our Father. And see, that's who God is. That's what he does. God does not bless people because of anything special about them, but because of who he is. And if you've received the blessing of God, and you have, it's not because of anything special about you. It's because of something very special about him. See, Jesus himself would make this exact same point. Years later, when Jesus was a grown man, he said these words, which we find in Matthew 11, verses 25 through 27, where it says, "And at that time Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Father or the Son chooses to reveal him.'" See, here again, it's making the same point that we see in the Christmas story. Jesus is telling us that if any of us come to know Jesus, if any of us come to know the Heavenly Father, it is because God has made himself known to us. There's not a one of us that's smart enough. There's not a one of us that is religious enough to get there on our own. God doesn't pick out only the best and the brightest. God's choice is not based upon anything about the person. It's not based upon anything in you. It is based upon God's gracious will. And that's the way that God does his work in the world. And just to, so you see that this is a pattern that we see throughout the scriptures, I want to read you one more scripture. Found in 1 Corinthians, the end of 1 Corinthians 1, where it says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." In verse 31, "So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." See, if you know Jesus, it is not based upon any human achievement or attainment. It's not based upon your goodness or your religiosity. Knowing Jesus is something that you can never earn or deserve. It's not based upon you. It's based upon the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's grace is based solely in him. It comes to us because of who he is, not because of your performance, not because you've been good or bad. Okay? Now, I just want to close with two points here. And the first point is that there is hope for you. Even for you, there is hope. Regardless of how you've lived your life, regardless if you've been religious or not religious, regardless if you've been successful, regardless whether you've achieved nothing or whether you've achieved lots, all that doesn't matter because your standing with Jesus is not based upon what you have done. See, your standing with Jesus, your only hope, is not based on what you have done for Jesus, but what Jesus has done for you. Now, there have been a number of times where I've been talking to people and talking to them about church and maybe even inviting them to church. And there have been about three or four times that I've heard this response where the person says, if I walk into that church, the church is going to burn down. Okay? Have you ever heard that? Now, immediately I'm thinking, let's get a little humility in your evil because don't overestimate yourself because if the church hasn't burned down yet, you're not going to make it burn down. Okay? But you hear that, and people think that they're so wicked and so evil, they've lived such a rebellious life against God, that if they just walk in the door, boom, lightning's going to come, the church building is going to burn down. Now, if you've thought that, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that the church hasn't burned down, too. But God does not reveal himself only to people who have impressive track records. God reveals himself to sinners. And as a matter of fact, he does not have any other options than revealing himself to sinners. See, regardless of how you've lived your life, if you turn to Jesus, Jesus is for you. And that's the great invitation of Jesus. And that's something better than you'll find anywhere else in the world. There is nothing else out there that is good as the message of Jesus. I mean, if you think of it, in everything else that is out there, it is dependent upon who you are and what you accomplish and what you earn. I mean, this is true even with the legends that have grown up around Santa. I mean, how does the song go? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake, which is creepy, but anyway. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. That's not grace. That's saying that if you want something good in your life, if you want to receive anything, if you need to earn it, you need to work for it. If you want a paycheck, you better work hard. If you want a good grade, you better study hard. It's telling us that if you want something, you have to earn it, you have to deserve it, you need to work for it. So be good, for goodness sake. But this is where, and that's how everything else in life works, but this is where Jesus is so much different and so much better. This is how Jesus is such good news. Because you are not without hope because of how you have lived. You aren't excluded from Jesus. Because Jesus came to this earth knowing exactly who we were. Jesus came to the earth knowing exactly who we were, but he came anyway and he died in our place anyway. In fact, that's the reason why he came. The great words of Romans 5:8 say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ isn't shocked or surprised by your sin. He expected it. He died for it. He came not because of your performance, but because of his amazing and his overwhelming grace and love. See, for every one of us, I want us to be amazed at what a great gift that Jesus is. And I want us to see that all the credit goes to him. I mean, that we know Jesus, that God has revealed himself to us, has nothing to do with us. It is not because of who we are. It's not because of how we have lived. It's not because of where we have lived. It's not because we keep all the rules. It's not because we have good works. It's not because we have been above average. It is not because of anything that we have done. It is not because we have earned some reward that is rightfully ours. It is all because of who Jesus is. Jesus is loving. Jesus is gracious. Jesus is merciful. And the only reason that we know Jesus is because of his gracious will towards us. The only reason that we know Jesus is because, just like the shepherds, he has made himself known to us. So he gets the credit, he gets the honor, and he gets the praise. That's the great gift of Jesus. If we know him, we don't pat ourselves on the back for what we've accomplished. We say, what a great Savior we have in Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Yeah, Heavenly Father, how incredibly kind and gracious and loving you are. And then God, in every page of your word, it's not telling us what we need to do to make ourselves right with you. It's telling us what you have done for us to make yourself right with us. So Lord, our hope is in you. We are grateful, 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 grateful for the gift of Jesus. So we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.